All right, you're on the arms of McGlenn.
And John.
And Mason.
Yep, I'm here.
Yay.
Mason, we appreciate you.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to tell me that's insulting right now?
Well, now I can't say it.
Your head is disproportionately sized to the rest of your body.
Yes, so is my forehead.
Yeah, you're... No,
thanks,
that's a six head.
For running the board, six head. Thank you for running it.
Yep.
You
see,
do a
the
fine job.
The compliments we give you are called negs. It's like, most women I don't find attractive with greasy hair, but it looks okay on
yes,
you.
Yes,
it looks okay on you.
I read a book.
I love how you just wear anything. That's a good one. I like using that one on chicks.
I love that you were so confident that you look good in that outfit.
Wow. You must have a lot of self-confidence.
Yeah, I read that book, so I know about that.
Yeah. These aren't pickup lines, by the way, guys, so don't take this.
No, go for it. Do it.
Yeah, or do it. No Maybe balls. They are pickup lines. I know some pretty dirtbaggy guys who I'm sure probably use pickup lines like this, and it works for them. So.
You know, most chicks, the ugly look doesn't work for them, but you.
You're killing it.
You are pulling it off, sweetheart.
You are killing it. Oh, Mason. Hey, how's your girlfriend, Mason?
A girl still.
Still a girl, still your friend.
That's good.
Still a girlfriend.
Yep.
Man, that's good, Mason.
Oh, to be young again.
Oh, to be young again. Be
Fuck
your age.
That. I would All not right. want to be young and single again in my life.
We are in the official Wilderness Tactical Studio. Remember to check them out at thewilderness.com. Tried actually a new, not a new Wilderness product. I tried for the first time a Wilderness product. It's actually been around for a long time, called the AccuBag.
Yeah, how'd those work out?
Loved it. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 4x6 is the way to go. Got three of them, got the 4x4, 4x5, 4x6. Yes, on the 4x6. That is the winner.
Good.
Definitely love those things. So if you're looking for a good rear rifle bag or support bag for competition or hunting or recreational shooting or whatever it might be, look at the Wilderness Tactical AccuBags. Really like them. They're making them a new non-slip material. Black non-slip, you guys saw that in the shop, and it looks pretty cool. Unfortunately, the only one I had in the non-slip was 4x4, because when I went by to pick some up, they didn't have any. The 4x4 is a little small for me.
Yeah,
the 4x5 is good, but the 4x6 does everything. And so you take the 4x6 and lay it on its side, mm-hmm. and then just squeeze it like a rear bag, and it's basically the size of a 4x5, right? Or flatten it out, it's the size of a 4x4. So like for me, the 4x6 was a perfect size. So very cool. If you're looking for a new rear bag for your rifle, check those out.
Awesome.
I tried the non-slip on the 4x4. It was good. It was good material, but I didn't really have a great use for the 4x4, so I couldn't fully test it. But we're actually going to be getting 4x6 non-slip rear bags for all of our students in 2 weeks. We're teaching our 3-day precision rifle class. All of our students are going to get one because I loved it so much.
Nice.
Yeah. So instead of the normal bags and dope books we give out at class, I'm just going to give one really cool bag.
Awesome.
It's going to be fun. It's good. And we have one slot left in that class, by the way. One slot. And this weekend, Wilderness First Aid, several slots still left. I think we have like 5.
Ooh.
So get to it, people.
Well, maybe we'll motivate some people with today's show about that.
I hope so. All right, remember our gear scholarship still going on. I think we're out to April now with selectees. We've got a lot of stuff going out. Please never give me that microphone, Mason. Mason just rubbed his nose with the microphone.
All over
it. Oh, man. Remember, no gray microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, red and blue for us only. Yeah.
Wait, ours are the same. Oh,
No. His is definitely gray. Yours is definitely blue.
Okay.
I can't actually say I've ever noticed that we get the same microphone every month or not, or every week.
We don't. I sometimes have the red one. There's a green one too.
When we have guests, we always have to bust out all 4.
I like to mix it up. So.
Well, please don't ever give me the gray one. I'm done with that one. Burn it.
Complacency kills.
So. Yeah, burn it. Our show today brought to you by HexMag. HexMag releasing their new Glock magazines.
Super excited.
I'm pretty excited about that. I'm looking forward to seeing what they have to offer, how they're gonna go. We saw the kind of test sample, so to speak, at SHOT Show. We really liked it. Interested to see how it goes now. I like them. Look, man, I'm always up for new magazines. I mean, yes, I already have magazines for my Glock that work just fine, but what I like about the HexMag Glocks is they're basically going to be the same price, and they have better grip on them. So automatically you've got that built-in better grip function on a magazine, which don't have.
If they stick with the production prototype that we saw at SHOT Show, they have a lip where you can grab it on the floor plate.
That also.
Where most Most of the magazines that are out there now, even factory magazines, most of those don't have that.
It's a very thin lip. Yeah. And you have to add some kind of aftermarket something.
Yeah, but these, it looks like, you know, looks like beefy. They intentionally beefed it up where you could get your booger hooks on there.
And it's going to have the Hex ID system.
That's fantastic.
So you can make different color followers, and I'm looking forward to that because I have multiple Glocks for multiple purposes and multiple Glocks in my home for different people, and it's nice to be able to say, hey, all your mags are going to be blue, all mine are going to be red, all these are. And yeah, you can spray paint them and all that kind of stuff, but this is an easy, surefire way. It's not going to wear off or wear down or affect the overall look of the magazine. So I'm excited. I'm excited to get them. Recent news? Anything really happen?
We lost General Hal Moore passed away.
Really?
Yeah, buddy.
That is, it's not sad. He was a great man. Why is it sad that someone died? I think it's great.
It's not sad that he died. It's sad
he lived. He lived a full life.
Yeah, he did.
And he did awesome things. And he went on beyond what he's famous for. Of course, we're talking about Landing Zone X-Ray or the We Were Soldiers story. Mm-hmm. He went on beyond that to do other great things. He was, you know, he used to test parachutes before
that. He was a parachute tester and experimental. Like, did every combat jump in Korea and like all kinds of stuff, dude. He like was, the dude was a badass.
I don't think did he make any combat jumps?
I think so.
I know that
I know the Sergeant Major
Plumlee.
I'm pretty sure he did too.
I know he made all I think he made all of them in World War II and one of them in Korea or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Freaking badass dudes. Let's just leave it at that. I don't know the exact stats. I'm sure we're slightly off on the numbers there, but badass dudes.
Yeah, buddy.
So no, it's great, man. It's time for him to move on to other adventures in his life. So no, it's great. How dare we mourn that men died? Instead, we should be grateful that such men lived, right? That's
word.
What General
I know the quote, but
crap. You Patton. Got me. General Patton.
All right.
So, all right. We lost another Special Forces soldier, died in a vehicle accident in Yemen.
That sucks.
Mm. Yeah, bummer deal. So, remember people, we saw people deployed. Still have
all over the world.
Boys and girls overseas, still doing stuff. So, keep that in mind. All right. Regardless what the mainstream media tells you, whatever current celebrity is doing whatever stupid thing that they're doing. Nobody really freaking cares about you. You're not real human beings, celebrities, so stop acting like it. We saw people deployed. Pay more attention to that. All right. Look, they volunteered for a job. I'm not saying you have to, you know, whatever,
they
fawn over them or anything.
High, you know, whatever. But
just remember that we have men and women that serve our country voluntarily overseas doing things that most people weren't and aren't willing to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's important. You went and saw John Wick, too.
I did. It was fantastic.
Man, I want to go see it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, there's one fight in there that's just, like, if I ever kill a guy, I hope that I have the opportunity to kill him in this manner.
Do it like that?
Because it was completely disgusting and totally amazing.
Oh, gosh, I got to go see that movie.
It's so over the top. It's
Mason,
like,
date night.
Whoa.
You and me.
It's so over the top, though. Like, it's absolutely, it's totally worth it. I was totally entertained for a couple of hours. It's fantastic. The gunplay is phenomenal.
Yeah. Like, well, Keanu Reeves trains a lot for that stuff.
You know, his reloads and everything. Like, you could tell that he definitely trains with a three-gunner, you know, because
he trains a lot with the Terran Tactical folks.
Yeah, and they do a lot.
And Tori Nanaka or whatever her name is.
But you could definitely see a little bit of the gamemanship and the way that they do things as opposed to a slightly more tactical way things would be done. Sure. But still, it's all
spot on. But it's still good gunplay.
It's fantastic gunplay. It's totally accurate. You know, there's no 7,000 round magazines or, you know, anything like that. Some really awesome transitions in there from, like, rifle goes dry, transitions to handgun, transitions back to rifle to
Just good play.
Fucking amazing. Yeah, it was good.
I'm anxious. You know, the first one was good. I really liked the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm anxious, definitely anxious to see the second one. So, yeah.
We'll and the pencils make a comeback.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
So,
hell yeah.
For those of you that have seen the first one, you'll get the reference, and it makes a comeback in this one. It's pretty
cool.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. All right. Looking forward to that. Mason and I are going to go on a date.
Can I go? I want to see it again. It's like one of those movies that you'll go see twice.
You can be a third wheel, but I don't want you trying to move in on my macking with Mason.
No, that's fine.
All right.
Pants hand job. That's all I have to say.
That over the pants handy, just like high school.
Oh, that dry hump. All the memories. All right. I had an interesting weekend. I actually didn't do any training, really.
That's funny.
Neither I taught one class last night out at the range a couple hours, and that was it. I spent almost the whole weekend with my family.
Who are you and what have you done with Glenn?
Yeah, right? It was great. It was a lot of fun. Friday night, went to Lake Pleasant and hung out, did the campfire thing, hike around the lake, hang out, watch stars and moon come out, roast hot dogs and s'mores and all that with the family. Everybody had a great time. Saturday, went to the Renaissance Festival. Mm. I like the Renaissance Festival.
I went once a long, long time ago, and that was enough for me.
I like it. There's a lot of funny shows and stuff like that. I will say the Renaissance Festival brings out the highest concentration of lesbians I've ever seen anywhere in my life.
It's a big thing.
I am amazed at how many lesbians there were. Hmm. A lot.
Interesting.
So many. And none of them at all look
the ones that
hot.
We all dream about.
Yeah. They're all
because those aren't real.
They're not the kind of lesbians that go to Renaissance Fair.
They're not real either.
Ugh.
Yeah.
And why is one of them always dressed like a dude?
That's called the butch.
I never really understood that either. Like, if you want a girl that dresses like a dude and acts like a dude,
why don't you date a
dude?
You want
a dude
instead of a chick.
They don't like the dangle bits.
It's all about that emotional.
But they use ones that attach to them.
Not actually a fair majority of them don't.
No. How about that fist, Mason? All right, before this turns into our pre-show.
Oh, God. Yeah, before this goes way south.
Oh, hey, but was it fun, though?
It was. I did. I had a good time. The weather was great. It was a perfect day. There was not as many people. It was opening weekend. I was worried there was going to be a ton of people, but there wasn't. Kids had a great time. I had a good time. Went with some other family. Wife enjoyed it. Everyone had a good time, man. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. I had a good time. Yesterday, had a great time. Start off the morning actually with exercising with my kids.
Nice.
Took the whole family out into the yard, and we exercised, and we stretched. We did some yoga, did some meditation. It was cool. It was good. My wife and I, you know, both into that kind of stuff, and so we just kind of worked with the kids on doing more of that. They see us do it, but they don't always participate. They kind of participate on and off, so we thought, hey, let's do it as a family event and see what happens. The kids loved it, so I think we're definitely going to be doing it more. It was a lot of fun. Then we went up to the Anthem Park.
Nice.
Yeah, hung out up there for a while.
You should
played
have
a bunch
me.
Of
we
sports.
Could have come down and
oh man, it was rode the train.
Yeah,
that was
dude,
fun.
Dude, I owe my oldest kid a train ride.
Oh, dude, it's fun. It just so, you know, sometimes I have to like relax and just remember how much fun little stuff like that can be.
Yeah,
you just chilling on a train for like 15 minutes. It goes super slow. It circles the park. There's absolutely nothing exciting about the actual train ride other than watching how much my kids enjoyed it.
Yep.
You know, sometimes I have to like put my phone away, put it on silent, don't worry about a text or phone call or email or anything, and just enjoy life.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot. It was a great weekend for me, man. I taught a pretty easygoing class last night. It was great. A lot of fun. So, hey, by the way, as a side note, if you're ever going out to Cowtown Rain and you see the no trespassing sign, it's because there's no trespassing.
Yeah.
Just a heads up. What? In fact, if you're ever going onto someone else's private property and there's a sign that says no trespassing, you know, private property, if you don't have a reservation, then you're trespassing, it's not a joke.
No. Right?
That's kind of a good thing about private property in general. Always interests me.
It's mine. Not
you know,
yours.
How many people will show up at the range? It's a very well-developed, very obvious commercial location and just start shooting. And we'll be like, hey, what are you doing out here? Oh, just came in here to shoot. Like, yeah, you don't really do that. You got to make a reservation.
It's not really allowed here.
You got to do that. Oh, well. Well, nothing. Go away. Oh, amazing. Amazing. How about you, Mason? What did you do this weekend, buddy?
Drilled.
Oh, you went to drill.
Yeah, I played Army this weekend.
Oh, that's exciting. What did you guys cover?
Not anything.
A Sharps briefing?
No, we actually did some driver's training, which wasn't too bad. We did some community service, too.
Ooh.
We went to a state park, and cleaned up this roadway.
Oh, you pulled weeds.
There. Yes.
Oh, to be a reservist.
And trees.
Trees.
But then we got to drive on this, like, off-road trail meant for, like, people that off-road recreationally, you know, like in their Jeeps and stuff. We took our freaking up-armored Humvees and stuff on it. That was pretty badass.
That's fun.
That was actually pretty entertaining, too. We had all our new drivers.
Anybody get stuck? LT get stuck?
No.
No?
Some civilian guy in a Jeep tried to pass us and got stuck on the side of the road.
Did you laugh and mock him as you drove past?
Like, wah, wah, wah. But yeah, no, no issues with those Humvees, man. You talk a lot of trash about them, but you got to try.
You can take them almost anywhere.
They get where they're going, man. They don't absorb explosions very well, but
no,
we actually have pretty decent ones too. Like, we don't have crappy Humvees. We have relatively new.
Oh, mine are old.
Ours are new.
I've seen the ones at John's unit. They're nothing to get excited about.
Nope.
Ours are legit. So
they all run though. That's all that matters.
So that was fun. No one got stuck. None of the vehicles broke down or anything. It was great. It was actually a pretty good time.
Right on.
Saturday was stupid, but Sunday was pretty
all made up for it in the end.
Yep.
Good time. Good job. Good job on community service. Yeah. All right. Redwire gear moment.
Community.
Go.
Oh, good Lord. So as most of you know, if you follow me on social media, you saw that I did a public service announcements last week. And that is because I got two teeth knocked out doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu last Monday night. So if you are into combat sports or football or baseball, wear all of the appropriate gear. Like, it's not a joke. You will lose teeth and you will spend an ungodly amount of money to correct a deficiency caused by someone that panicked. And if you're new to a combat sport,
don't panic.
Don't panic. Don't be that guy, because then no one else will ever want to train with you again.
True story.
So that's it. We're doing some new testing with some additions and changes to the Mark 82 med kits also. If you follow me on social media, you saw a picture that got put up yesterday. Stay tuned. There'll be some more photos of that coming soon, and some more reports of field use and things like that to see how this new attachment system works out. So always looking to make a little bit better product, you know, streamline the manufacturing process a little bit and give you guys some better options out there. So that's all we got for you this week.
All right. Redwire Gear Moment brought to you by RedwireGear.com. Wear your PPE regardless of what you are engaging in. I always like to tell people who don't want to wear iPro, they're always like, no, we need to wear iPro. I'd be like, do you like your eyes? Yeah, you should wear iPro. Good iPro.
Yeah,
ballistic iPro.
A good example about that, too. I almost lost my eye at work the other day because I didn't wear my iPro when I was supposed to.
But
it was funny because I told my roommate about what happened to John, and he was like, hey, I bet you I know what the Redwire Gear Moment's going to be on Monday. I was like, I bet you're right. Wear your freaking mouth guard when you do that stuff.
Nice. Wear your mouth guard. Yeah, that was pretty great. Now, on a plus note, I have to say this to anybody who knows John. This is an important thing.
Oh, God, yes.
All right? To anyone who knows John.
No more chiclet.
He's got his new teeth. But those are fake right now. Those are not your permanent ones that you're
going to have. Yeah, this is not a permanent bridge right now. I go back for a post-op on Friday of this week, and I'll probably end up with a second temp. And then it'll be sometime in March before they put the permanent bridge in.
The swelling looks almost all the way gone. There's still a little bit.
Yeah, there's still a little bit. There's still one spot that's super tender, but it's because the guy that hit me was really big. Really strong.
Yeah, so heads up on that. Wear your PPE, folks. All right, so on today's show, we are going to be talking about 72-hour kits or get-home bags and what the priority is. Now, before we even talk about what to put in a kit, we have to talk about what the purpose of one of these kits is to us, right? Now, to some people, they refer to these things as a get-home bag or a bug-out bag or something like that. We do not consider bugging out to be that great of an option, you know, so that's not what we're talking about here. There's a number of reasons why. We've talked about it on shows in the past. Suffice to say that, I'll put it this way. At the Renaissance Festival this weekend, 90% of those people would have been dead during the Renaissance. Let's put it that way. All right?
Oh, God, yeah.
Because the majority of our population is neither physically fit nor mentally capable to handle that kind of lifestyle. Because we've all been babied to a certain type or a certain way of life. Right. And so when you talk about, you know, bug out and people are like, yeah, I'm going to bug out and leave. I'm like, what about your kids? What about your family?
What about my kids?
You going to take them with you? Are they capable of living out there? Are they capable of living off the land like you think you're going to, even though you're not going to? You know, consider the fact that the majority of hunters out there come home empty handed.
Mm-hmm.
And they're specifically going out and hunting managed game animals.
Mm-hmm.
What about when nothing is managed and people are just killing freely? Like the idea of bugging out, just unless your primary source of security and safety is compromised, it's just like if you're on a firebase somewhere, man, you don't just leave because stuff starts going wrong. You know what I mean?
You got to kind of stay. The entire thing is compromised.
Yeah, when literally they're pouring in from 360 degrees, the majority of your dudes are dead.
Or combat ineffective.
You're out of ammunition. Pretty much everyone's black and freaking combat, you know, ineffective. And, yeah, all your 240 gunners are yelling black, right? That's a problem.
Oh, God.
You should probably think about...
Fix bayonets.
...deeding out and trying to figure out a way out of there. But the concept here is, like, you don't bug out just because stuff starts getting bad.
Nope.
You know? So it's important to keep that in mind. This is not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is getting home from an emergency. Your vehicle gets stuck on the side of the road.
Yep.
Your vehicle gets stranded in the desert, and you need to live off of it for a couple of days maybe until you're found. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, again, you get stuck on the side of the road and you just need some comfort items, or you might be there for several hours.
Or another good reality that has happened, and it's been played out several times with massive natural disasters, there's a forced evac.
There's a forced evacuation.
You have a limited amount of time, a limited amount of space, and generally speaking, when they're doing those, it's, hey, you can basically bring what you can carry.
Yep.
And what better way to carry things than in a freaking backpack?
Shocking.
So it's something to think about, and a lot of people get this grand concept of these giant bug-out bags that are like 5,000 cubic inch freaking rucksacks that, I can just live out of this thing forever. Yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
You ever lived out of a backpack for an extended period of time? I have, and it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And that was with plenty of support.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was living out of my truck, which is basically a backpack on wheels, you know, for 5 to 7 days at a time.
A really heavy backpack with wheels
and an engine. But still, I mean, the only things I had were what I put in my ruck or what was in my truck. You know, if I ran out of clean socks, I was out of clean socks. If I ran out of water, I was out of water.
Yeah,
that's a bad op.
You want to think about 72 hours until a resupply, basically, is what you're looking for. You know, it's 72 hours until you can get resupplied. So any kit you put in, you got to be able to have 3 days out of. So you also have to keep in mind, of course, as guys with kids here, we got to keep all that stuff in mind.
That's a shitload of diapers, bro.
Yeah, that could be anything. It might be diapers. It might be food. Look, man.
Formula.
I can choke down just about any kind of food. I will eat dead animals. I will kill lizards and put them on sticks. I've done it plenty of times.
Yeah.
I have eaten some nasty stuff over the years. I am not a foodie, so to speak, so I don't really care about...
It'll all make a turd, right?
I will eat. It all builds a turd, so whatever, man. I will freaking make it work. But my kids won't.
Mine won't until a certain point.
Well, sure. There's going to be a certain point where they're like, fine, I'll eat something. But, you know, there's going to be that day or two or 3 days where your kids are just going to be a disaster to deal with. They're not going to want to hike any further. They're not going to want to deal with any of this. How are you going to carry your kids? How are you going to carry all this stuff? What extra stuff? You can think in your head right now, I'm just going to tell them to soldier up or whatever. They're not gonna. They're kids.
So here's the thing about kids. I just had this discussion with my counselor, whatever you want to call them. Kids are basically irrational sociopaths until they reach a certain age.
Irrational sociopaths.
So, yeah, you can scream and yell at your kid all you want, and you may eventually get some compliance out of them in those scenarios, but it's not going to be worth it. Prepare to take care of your kids for these emergencies, in these situations. It's, you know, they're sociopaths. They're literally sociopaths. They don't have the ability to use reason or logic it's just not there. They don't possess those skill sets yet. So you can't just yell at a kid and be like, hey, suck it up, buttercup. Time to keep moving. Okay, good luck.
And they can't go without the same kind of comfort items that we can go without. They're going to need some things.
My kid loses his mind if we leave his blanket at home.
Dude, I mean, like, something to think about in a 72-hour kit. Like, my kids love Legos. Dude, buy a little $5 Lego kit and throw it in there.
Oh, yeah.
Or a toy.
A sandwich bag full of Legos.
Well, I mean, like, a brand new toy that gives them that excitement opening up something brand new. There you go. Be cool for a few minutes.
You've got them distracted for like 7 minutes.
Yeah, I have to do that in all my kids, too.
But that's something.
But that's for yourself.
All yourself. So, I mean, that's something to consider, right, is how we're going to handle our kids and how we're going to handle ourselves. Like, you think you're physically fit. When was the last time you hiked with equipment over varied terrain? know, and people, again, they do the longer than I'd care they do to the admit. Mental thing of like, well, I could do it if I had to, or back in 1996, or back in 1982, or worse, back in 2007 when I was with XYZ doing XYZ, we humped all over the, you know, Afghanistan mountains. Well, that's cool, dude. Are you still in that kind of shape?
Nope.
And I don't mean, yeah, I go to the gym and I lift. Cool. How's your cardio, brah? You know? Because that's what you're going to need a lot more than giant biceps. You're going to need some freaking cardio, man. You're going to need that long-term endurance. I'm not saying don't lift, right? I'm not saying don't get strong. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's like everything we talk about on the show. It's about a balance in your lifestyle, mm-hmm. and this is one of those things where we have to consider, what if I get stranded on the side of the road? How long can you go without food comfortably and still operate? Can you go without food for a day or 2 days?
Ugh.
You know, how long can you go without water? A lot less time. You can go without food for a long time, days, really, technically. And you're starving the whole time, so your capacity is diminishing along the way, right? But my concept is, if you're someone who's used to eating 7-8 meals a day, like these people who eat really small meals throughout the entire day, and you're used to constantly having this influx and snacking and all that, what happens when that's taken away because you're stranded out in the desert and now you have to live out of this rucksack that you put one MRE in? You know what I mean? So, like, you have to condition your body a little bit to be able to deal with these kind of conditions. And it might be some simple things. Like, there's been times where I've been stuck in a traffic accident or whatever so badly that the option was better to just pull over on the side of the road and sleep it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you have that capability in your vehicle? Do you keep some blankets and a pillow? And or if it's really cold, do you throw an extra sleeping bag in there? Do you have hygiene items? Can you brush your teeth? Can you wipe your butt? Can you, you know, wipe your pits and do a little wet wipe shower and clean yourself up a little bit and be clean and safe and secure that way, right? I mean, hygiene isn't just a smelling good thing. It has a lot to do with good health.
Well, it has a lot to do with morale, too.
And morale.
Like, I mean, yeah. There have been 3 days into like a 5-day op and you're like, crap, I'm out of socks.
I smell myself.
I read out of baby wipes.
Yeah.
And now I'm sad.
I smell myself. I don't like smelling myself. So yeah, it's like, you know, there gets to a point where hygiene has a lot to do. So do you keep a toothbrush in your vehicle? Do you keep a small backpack full of these kinds of daily essential items? You know, we talked about emergency preparedness a couple weeks ago or last week or whenever that was. When was that? When did we talk about that?
Oh, God.
And we were talking about
The realistic emergencies. It was a couple of weeks ago.
The 30th of January. Okay, so a couple weeks ago. So, you know, we're talking about preparing for realistic emergencies, and we're talking about, excuse me, you know, ladies carrying tampons and pads and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, do you carry enough of that in your car to last you for 3 days? If you get stranded on the side of the road, do you want to be dealing with this and freaking Kleenex or your sock or something like that? Probably not. Right? You probably want the appropriate tools. So bring the appropriate tools.
Oh,
you know? All right. So that's kind of, you know, thing number one is that what is the realistic concept of this? The realistic concept for me of a 72-hour kit or a get-home bag is either A, you need this to get home. Now, that might not mean you have to hike your ass home, right? Mm-hmm. It might mean you just need these items to keep you alive so that you can get home.
Mm-hmm.
And B, what John brought up was you might have to get evacuated
mm-hmm.
for any number of natural disasters that might be in your area. And they are, you got 15, 20, 30 minutes to grab all your stuff. Do you have at least the essentials ready with a list on there of like, okay, as we're going out the door, I'm going to grab this folder full of important documents, this flash drive that's mm-hmm. got all my backup on it, whatever, right? I'm going to grab these necessary. I'm going to grab my pistol and extra couple magazines or whatever, right? Whatever extra things you need to grab, but do you already have your essentials built? Right. So let's talk a little bit about the essentials, right? To talk about the essentials of what we got to put in the bag, we got to talk about the 7 priorities of survival. All right. Now, out of the 7 priorities of survival, they're not in a particular order of what's most important, except for number one. Number one's always most important. The rest of them are just kind of in whatever order. And again, these are survival of all capacity, wilderness survival, urban survival, surviving on the side of the road for one night, surviving because you have to go sleep in a freaking gym, a high school gym. 40,000
of your closest friends.
Yeah, with a whole bunch of people from your town because, you know, this is happening and your home is maybe burned to the ground or flooded or whatever, right? Here's the priorities of survival. Number one is stop, right? Stop, think, observe, and plan, right? Mm. Meaning that STOP, right? Stop, think, observe, and plan is always the first priority of survival. You have to stop and take a look at your situation, think about what is going on. Observe your tools, observe your condition, observe the people around you. And based on all that intel or information, you make a plan, right? So someone comes to your house and says, you got 15 minutes to get out of your house. Okay, you can A, panic and run around and start randomly grabbing stuff, which is probably not going to do you as much
good. It's not
going to
be very conducive.
Or you can stop, think, observe, and plan, meaning stop and go, okay, A, this is happening, so it's time to accept that.
Take 2 minutes. 2 minutes, 3 minutes max.
You think, okay, I'm going to take let's grab a piece of paper real quick and a pen, and I'm going to enlist all my family and whoever else may be around me, and we're going to think of all the necessary things we need to take to get out of here within the next 15 minutes, right? We're going to take 60 seconds to do this. We're going to think, blah, 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 boom. Okay, now we're going to observe what's immediately around us, who can help me, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to give everyone their commands, their orders, whatever, and then, boom, that's the plan, and we execute it. You taking 2 or 3 minutes in the beginning of that 15 minutes to make sure that everything is being done effectively is gonna save you time as opposed to running frantically around your house trying to grab stuff. Then you're gonna end up leaving and realize you forgot something really important, but you got an armful of freaking framed photos.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or something stupid like that. So, yeah, stop, think, observe, and plan. You know, maybe if I have to leave my house because there's a fire or a flood or something like that, man, maybe everything, I'm going to tell one of my kids, you're going to take all these items and you're going to go put them in the safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the safe ain't going to probably float away. And it's, you know, hopefully if it's burning, it's not going to burn to the ground, right? So, you know, at least maybe we'll be able to keep some of this stuff secure. But you got to go through that stop process to make effective plans. Now, the other priorities, which are in no particular order here, all right, of importance, their importance is going to be circumstantial. And some of them are so circumstantial that they may not be a priority, right? Now, I'm gonna go through them, and then I'm going to go through kind of what each one of them is. It's fire, signal, shelter, first aid, water, and food. Those are our primary priorities of survival. So let's talk about each one individually. Again, in no particular order. Fire. What does fire do for us?
Well, it allows cooks you to food. Cook.
Okay, it cooks.
Keeps us
warm.
Allows you to
warmth.
Sanitize water.
Sanitation.
Boil water.
Yeah. Morale.
Yeah. Yeah.
Light.
True.
Security.
Mm-hmm.
So fire can be a lot of things to you, right? Fire can mean a lot of different things. You should always, if you're looking from a wilderness perspective, you should always have 3 ways to make fire, right? Because undoubtedly one of your ways isn't going to be working right now. So your lighter is great until it's super windy, right?
Yeah.
And even your windproof lighter, you'd be surprised, is not that effective.
Not really
in those
all that windproof.
Kinds of things, right? So it's better to have other options, right? So always have 3 ways to make fire in the wilderness. But if I'm not in the wilderness, I may not need 3 ways to make a fire. So in this case,
or you may not be allowed to make a fire.
Yeah, if I'm getting evac to the local high school, I'm probably not going to be straight up castaway in it in the freaking gym making freaking friction fire. Okay, that's probably not going to happen, right? So what does fire mean to me in that case? In that case, it means all the things we just mentioned, right? The ability to cook, the ability to clean, light, security, and morale. So what are things that I can put also in my fire that help, right? Light is fire. Right? Mm. A grill might be fire, okay? A small little personal stove can be fire, right? Mm-hmm. So all those things can be fire and can also help me circumstantially in certain situations. You know, in my get-home bag, I carry a small little tiny fold-up stove. It? Yeah. Well, I used to carry the Esbit all the time. Now, instead of the Esbit, I actually carry
like one of the little,
one of the little rocket stove type deals.
Yeah.
With, I can't remember what the brand name is, the Crux.
Yeah.
I carry a Crux and a little small can of fuel. That small can of fuel will allow me to heat water.
Mm-hmm.
It'll allow me to start a fire. It's easy to start that thing. Even in high winds, if I turn that gas all the way up and hit that thing with a spark,
oh, yeah.
Boom, I have fire and it's roaring. I can build a quick little easy shelter and now I have fire. Now I can light other stuff on fire easily and that can will run for like an hour.
Nice.
Not that I'm going to run it for a straight hour, but that means I can run it for 3 or 4 minutes, get a fire going, even with wetness or anything like that. I'll build a little windshield around it, and it'll really heat stuff up and help me dry things off. And again, it gives me the ability to have light and all that. So, you know, that could be fire, right? Signaling, some way to signal to other human beings that I need help or that I am here or that I need you to do this. So what are some signaling methods you can think of, John?
Well, first one that comes to mind that you should carry with you all the time anyway is a flashlight.
Okay, flashlights are great signaling methods.
Headlamps, some type of bright orange panel like the military issued VS-17 panels, which are either orange or purple. Chem lights work great. Plus, Chem lights.
Is that purple? Are you sure it's not pink? It's pink. VS-17.
It's pink?
Yeah.
It's pink purplish.
I have weird color problems.
It's
in my
orange
eyes.
And then so a pinkish
purple. It might be purple.
It's a pinkish purple. I don't know.
I think it's pink, but it might be purple.
They say it's pink, but anyhow.
Okay.
The VS-17 panels, VS-17. Dual color, orange and badass. Another pinkish purpley, whatever color.
And if you don't want to carry the full panel, by the way, like in my bug out, or my get home bag, I put, I just cut up a VS-17. Yeah, I just cut it in half. That way it's not so bulky.
I knew a lot of guys in the military special operations side of the house that would take and cut a section out and sew it to the inside of their hat.
Yeah. So, hell yeah.
You know, it doesn't take a lot because it is not at all a naturally occurring color. Even in the fall, back east, wherever, it's that orange does not occur naturally, nor does that pinky purple color. Chem lights, man. Chem lights are great. They're relatively inexpensive. Mm-hmm. You can get them in a ton of different sizes. Mm-hmm. And they're great for entertaining your freaking kids, dude.
Yeah, they are.
I crack a
and
chem light.
And keeping track of them.
Yeah, I crack a chem light at my house, and my kids are like, oh, I want one, Dad. I want one, Dad. Can I have one? Oh, I want the blue one, Dad. Mm-hmm. Buy some chem lights. They're not expensive. And they don't have to be like the military-grade ones because those get a little bit pricey unless you catch them somewhere.
Yeah, you can find them about a buck a piece. Even those you can find about a buck a piece, usually.
But, anyway. You know, chem lights.
Yeah, chem lights.
And then...
how about your cell phone?
Yeah, as long as the battery doesn't die.
As long as your battery doesn't die. So let's talk about that. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, like carrying around an extra battery pack.
I carry around an extra battery pack all the time.
I keep an extra battery pack that I charge up about every 3 months in my kit that will charge my phone twice fully.
Yeah.
You know, and has just a general USB port on it, so I could also plug in a number of other USB type things on it and charge it or run them. I have lights that run off USB, all kinds of stuff. So, you know, that's something to think about. Those signaling methods. You have other things. There's signaling mirrors. There's flares. There's, you know, do you carry that kind of stuff? I do in my truck. I carry a flare gun. It's an aerial flare, man. I might need to let someone know where I'm at, you know. And there's ways to use these things appropriately, and you need to know. It's more than just carrying it. I also carry a couple handheld flares. You know, they're easy things to carry. They don't take up any space. I also carry. I actually have a smoke in there, just in case. A small smoke, one of the small smokes.
The paintball smoke or whatever they are. Enola Gaze or something.
This is a real smoke. It's just It's just the. I can't remember what the designation. It's not that. What's the regular smoke's M118.
Yeah.
Or something like that. These are, I can't remember, I have to go look at it, but they're like the compact ones.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't burn as long. But I keep one of those in there, you know, so that if I need to signal someone, hey, I'm over here under the tree line, under the trees or whatever, it's like, no, dude, take it old school. Purple smoke. you know what I mean? Purple smoke, brah. You see the purple smoke? That's me.
That's where I'm at.
You know, so it's like it's an easy way for me to signal and something easy to carry around. So. You know, signaling methods like that. There's all kinds of signaling methods. You get your car horns a signaling method. You got all kinds of signaling methods, mirrors and all that. But signaling, really, when it breaks down to it, like if you look it away from the tools and you look at what the purpose of signaling is, it's the idea of telling someone where you're at.
It's communication.
Yeah, it's communications, right? I'm here. You're there. I need you to do this. Help me. Any of those things are all signaling, right? So carry signaling methods. Now, that could also mean radios. It could mean... phones. It might mean we're going to have a guy on here the end of March, I want to say. I'm going to look at the calendar real quick. End of February. In just a couple weeks, February 27th, we're going to have a guy named Ted Harden on here talking about ham radios and other communications in emergencies.
That's cool.
And radios and stuff like that. How to get involved in that kind of stuff. So that's all part of signaling. Right? Keep in mind that signaling in an emergency, we're talking kind of more wilderness emergencies. But you think about real world emergencies, I might just need to be able to call my significant other and say, hey, I'm stuck on the side of the road, but what if I'm in an area with bad service? You know, do I have a booster? What if my battery's about to go dead? Do I have a way to power it? Mm-hmm. You know, or if I'm trying to communicate with other people in my party and cell phones aren't available, do I take radios? You know, when I go on big wilderness backcountry adventures, I take a couple of radios in my pack. That way, if two groups are going to split up, I can say, here, take a radio. You guys take a radio and we'll take a radio. Because I've had plenty of adventures out there where the two groups totally split. And one group, oh, we're going to go hit this trail. Okay, we're going to go hit this trail. We'll meet back here. Well, what if you don't meet back there? You know, At least, and the phones aren't going to work. So at least now I've got a radio. I can use whistles. I can start using, you know, potentially other types of emergency signals to either draw attention to us if we're the ones who are lost or hurt, or find them if they're the ones who are lost or hurt, or just late, right? They decided to stop and take an extra break or something. We didn't expect that. So, you know, signaling to people is important. So if you have an emergency, if your home is compromised today, how can you alert your children to not go home? Or how can you alert your family members that maybe your area is being flooded, but you're okay? Cell phones might not work. So maybe there's a website forum or something like that that you guys can all go on. You know, everyone goes to Facebook, or everybody goes to, you know, a certain hunting forum or gun forum or vehicle forum or something like that, and posts in a certain area that, like, hey, this is so-and-so from such-and-such family, just letting everybody know I'm okay. And everybody can go check that to make sure. That's kind of something that's more not going to be as heavily populated as maybe some of the social media sites.
It's like a dead drop.
Yeah, it's kind of like a dead drop. You know, that's kind of the concept, right, is that everybody can say, I'm going to go to this place and everything's going to be okay. Do you have a secondary meeting location? You know, if there's an emergency, where do your kids meet? Where does your family meet? Where do you go? Is there a fire station nearby you can go to? Is there a friend's house, a family member's house? Where does everybody go? If the house is compromised for whatever, natural disaster or whatever, the last thing I want to do is try to organize everybody and tell them where to go. They should already know. They should already be on their way there. And it's got to be close enough that it's walking distance. You know, so your bug out location in the woods or whatever is not going to freaking work. It's too freaking far away, and you're too fat probably, so it's probably not going to work out for you, all right? And I'm probably already there, and I'm a mean son of a bitch. And so if I've already secured your bug out location, you're screwed, because it ain't just me in there.
Wow.
So for those of you guys who think that's an option, it's probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
Be real. Be realistic about this stuff.
Just like we talked about a few weeks ago.
Yeah. All right. Shelter. Speaking of bug out locations. All right. Shelter. All right. What does shelter mean to you guys? When you think of shelter, what does that mean?
A place to stay dry if it's raining, or warm if it's cold.
Okay.
That's about as simple as it gets,
yeah,
man.
The poncho liner. Yeah.
Yeah. The woobie.
A poncho and a woobie. The things I can do.
Oh, dude. It's all you really need to survive.
You can build a whole freaking shanty.
It's a Hilton under certain circumstances. All right. So shelter, a place to stay warm, a place to stay dry, morale.
Yeah.
Security.
Yeah.
Shelter to me says security. Security for my family is important, right? My house back in the day, I could get by with a cho liner and a cho. I was fine with that.
Yeah.
Because that's all I needed, because I'm one dude.
Yep.
You know?
And now I'm one dude and one wife, yeah, and a battalion's worth of children.
Yeah, now I'm plus a lot. So now I have to secure all those. So one poncho liner ain't going to cut it.
Nope.
You know, how big is your tarp? How big is your shelter? How big is whatever? You know, and again, we're kind of looking at more of a wilderness perspective here. But if I have to pull over on the side of the road.
No. Okay. So the shelter thing can come into play definitely in like an evac situation where you're in a gym. So you're in this giant.
Oh, no. I wasn't saying it's just a wilderness. I'm saying from like a let's build a tarp, let's build whatever. Okay. But right. Actually,
but those same
still,
things, dude, because it's just like.
I agree.
Deployment in 2009. One of the FOBs I was at, we all were in like this massive tent. There was no privacy whatsoever, uh-huh, right? So you rummage around the FOB and you find a few sticks and some old leftover cot posts or whatever, and you build yourself your own little
your own little cubicle.
Yeah, your own little cube so that you have little, some privacy,
your own little
man.
Beach shack.
Yeah, you know, the Jack Shack as it's affectionately referred to. But, you know, that type of privacy, especially if you're in an evacuation scenario, you know, just that little bit of privacy can make all the difference in the world, because I don't know these people. They don't need to see what I'm taking in and out of my bag. Mm. They don't need to see me in my freaking Captain America chonies, or me naked because I don't wear chonies, but I need to change my pants. Like, you know, there's a lot of, you know, carrying some type of something for shelter like that. There's a lot of good uses for it. And if nothing else, if you need to, you can cut it up, fold it up, get a roll of duct tape, make a little knapsack out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of different uses for that concept of shelter, which are all going to be important. And again, it's providing security, privacy, shelter from the elements, all those concepts. So, you know, if I'm driving down the road, and which has happened to me before, we're on a long road trip with the family, and it's like, man, we are so tired. we just got to stop getting to that dangerous tiredness point. And you're like, all right, everybody, we're going to sleep in the car for a couple of hours. Well, I don't know if you've ever tried to, you know, when I try to sleep in my truck by myself, I just pull over to the side of the road and then I go to sleep, yeah. Right? I sleep anywhere in any position, so I'll just go to sleep, right?
I've slept sitting upright more than one occasion in my life. Dude,
like no big deal, right? But when you got a bunch of kids, you got to get them comfortable a lot. So again, in your vehicle, do you carry those appropriate? Do you carry a couple pillows? Do you carry a couple blankets? They don't have to be big things. You can get all those small little compressible ones and put them all into one tiny little bag and have several setups, especially for your younger kids. Your older kids, you may say, hey, kind of suck it up a little bit. But you know, for your younger kids, do you have a way to make them comfortable, to provide them some of that shelter, that security that's going to help them sleep so that you can get a good couple hours rest or whatever it is you need so that you can move on. And again, if we're stuck on the side of the road, do you have that capability? You know, something to think about. And we talk about carrying hygiene products for us. Do you carry extra hygiene products for your family? You know, we were in a situation, we talked about it, I don't know, it's been a couple months ago now, but, you know, where our major freeway here in Arizona got shut down because of a massive vehicle accident. Mm-hmm. And I was very seriously considering, like, I'm going to have to go to a hotel. You know, I'm going to have to go back to where I came from and go to a hotel and sleep, because I literally cannot get around this. It is closed off in all directions. It was a massive, massive, major problem. And so, you know, what do I need to do? Do I have the extra supplies for my kids or a way to make that happen? Maybe it's just financial, all right? Do you have a few extra bucks in your get-home bag? I keep some extra cash in my get-home bag. So I roll in late. I just need some money to buy everybody a toothbrush or some toothpaste or whatever, right? A little conditioner or something, or shampoo, whatever, so everyone can wash their hair. Like, I'm going to roll into some place, the electricity's out or whatever may happen. Mm-hmm. Do I have that capability? Just cash something I keep in there. That, to me, may help with shelter. So you have to look at those kinds of concepts of, you know, what we're putting in our bag. All right. So we've got shelters, a lot of different ways to secure that, easy tarps. One of my favorite shelters is the ground tarp from War Bonnet Outdoors, hands down. It makes a room big enough to sleep my whole family, and it packs up about the size of an Nalgene bottle. It's awesome.
Nice.
Very, very cool. So, you know, look at things like that. Even just big old tarps are a great way, something easy to carry. All right, so first aid. Holy cow, like we haven't talked about this enough on the show.
Yeah, so if you need a trauma kit and you need a boo-boo kit, and that needs to include your meds, if your family takes meds, if your kids are on meds, vitamins for your kids, because if you're looking at some type of evac or survival situation, you're already starting to kind of look at the idea of malnutrition if you go to an extended period of time. Plus the gummy, my kids, dude, I open up the cabinet in the morning and my kids come running because they get their little gummy vitamins. They're like, oh, my gummies, you know, so you're looking at a little bit of morale there for the kids or for yourself or, I mean, you know, so. God, my brain just completely ran totally off the train tracks. So first aid. Yeah, so you're looking at all your meds. You're looking at your trauma kits. And know how to use the stuff in your freaking trauma kits. Like, we've beat this horse so many times.
And don't forget basic first aid.
Yeah,
and basic first aid. We talk about trauma so much that I think sometimes we overlook the fact that you need basic first aid.
Great little thing happened at my house yesterday. Don't know how it happened. My little one was outside driving his Power Wheel truck. Hmm. We have a pretty steep driveway. And he comes in the house. And the side of his head is like bleeding.
Nice.
And I'm like, what the crap? So I look out the window and the truck is upside down in my driveway. I don't even know how the truck got upside down in the driveway. But he's got like this
rally, dude.
This really gross looking abrasion on the side of his head. And when I first see it, I'm like, oh my God. Because it looked like it had been like peeled up, and it wasn't. It was just a big scrape. You know? So there was no need for me to like panicking.
Bust out the trauma kit.
Yeah, there was no trauma kit needed. Mm-hmm. You know, just a little bit of water, clean it up. We put a gauze pad and some Coband around his head, and he was fine. Mm-hmm. And we mostly did that because the older kid was kind of weirded out about the bloody patch on the side of little brother's head.
Sure.
But he was totally fine with it, you know. And then don't panic. For God's sakes, don't panic. Because if you start to panic, your kids are going to start to panic.
Well, and another thing about first aid is having enough for everybody. You know, again, there's this concept of like, well, I have enough. I have an IFAC. An IFAC is designed for one person, one wound, right? So you're going to need more than just an IFAC, Right? You need more than just that personal trauma kit. You're going to need more supplies. And spread them out throughout the bags. You know, if you've got multiple bags, your older kids may have their own bags, or you and your spouse or whatever may have your own bags. Spread out the supplies. Obviously, don't keep all your eggs in one basket in case something happens to one of the packs. But also make sure everybody is carrying their own supplies so that everyone does have enough stuff. Last thing you want to do is run out of gauze, run out of Coban, run out of whatever.
Yep.
And now you don't have the appropriate tools because you're like, oh, well, I didn't pack enough. Like, you have to pack enough for everybody. So however many people you are in your family, take what you would carry plus a little extra. Now times that by however many people are in your family.
And we actually – so like in an evac scenario, if we were leaving our home, we actually have an entire Black Hawk stomp bag fully stocked.
Nice.
That we can grab that, you know, along with our two go bags plus the kids' little backpacks that we keep with their stuff. So, mm-hmm. You know, we have plenty of trauma and medical, you know, trauma and first aid supplies in those bags. So if you're looking at something like that, or you do a lot of off-roading or something, it's not a bad idea to get some type of small trauma bag to keep in your car, you know, because you can get a lot of stuff in those. And they're pretty easy. And then if you need to, you can strip down some of the first aid and strip down some of the extra trauma and put your personal stuff in there. Now you have a backpack with all of the stuff that you need.
Mm. Now, another thing to consider with that first aid stuff, you talked about medications and all that kind of stuff, is also think about extensive injuries, things that might be a little extra. Like, you know, I would consider bringing something if I was going to be leaving my house, bringing like a set of walking sticks, you know, like mm-hmm. hiking sticks that could also be used potentially to assist somebody who had a limp, you
or,
know what I mean?
Yeah. Or as a splint. Crutch.
Or a crutch or something like that. You know, think about SAM splints. Think about things that you may need to stabilize someone for an extended period of time because of a vehicle rollover out in the desert, and now you're trapped and people are looking for you, but you know, it might not be found for a couple of days. You need to stabilize this person. If you have the skill sets, maybe you don't put this in your bag. Maybe it's something you keep in your vehicle or whatever, but you know, think about intravenous fluids. If you have that skill set, don't buy that crap if you don't know what you're doing, but you know, think about being able to put a saline lock in somebody. Pushing some fluids into them, which is LR or saline or whatever. But, you know, think about that kind of extended scenario. Again, we're looking at 72 hours. You know, that's kind of what our goal is, to be able to survive for 72 hours in any environment. You know, a couple weeks ago, we talked about the dangers of preparing for one emergency. This is kind of a continuation, a little bit of that, which is if you're just preparing for one emergency, then you're not prepared. You're prepared for that one mm-hmm. event, but your situation, your circumstances is too narrow. Right, so past first aid, we're looking at water. So water is water. There's not much more
water
to say about
it. Water is life.
Right? Water.
Have water, have the ability to clean water, have the ability to carry water.
Mm-hmm.
I think that pretty much covers water.
Carry water, purify water.
Have two or three different ways, if it's feasible for you, at least two ways to purify your water.
Don't just plan on boiling it. That might not always be an option. Don't just plan on running it through your pump. I've had more than one freaking water filter fail.
Mm-hmm.
So don't just plan on one water filter. Have a couple. Again, everyone should maybe have their own individual, whether it's a Life Straw or something like that. I'm a fan of those. I like those. Whatever that case may be, everyone should have their own kind of individual water filter and shouldn't just be based on one. Right?
Yep.
And then food. And food is usually the last priority, but sometimes it can be the first priority if the circumstances call for a medical condition or kids or your injury is that you're a little malnourished or something like that. So food's important. What kind of food should we prepare? I always like to take food that doesn't have to be cooked. I can eat an MRE cold. I can eat a can of soup cold. I can eat a can of stew cold. I don't want to take something that must be cooked.
So when we go car camping, because my family and I do a little bit of car camping, we always take the freeze-dried Mountain Home meals, right? Well, that's easy. You know, because I can carry plenty of water. I'm obviously going to be able to build a fire because I packed a fire.
Right.
You know, those are not ideal because I've never tried to eat one of those without the water in it.
I tried it. Don't do it.
I can't imagine it would go down very well.
No, it's awful.
So
it's awful.
Look at real food options. There's plenty of like high calorie emergency rations that are out there. MREs are a good option or a mediocre option.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of other stuff, and stuff as simple as protein bars, Clif bars, power bars, like, because they're probably not the healthiest options, but in some of those situations, those things that are in them that aren't that healthy are going to help you,
mm-hmm.
like that little sugar boost or you know, like things like that. Dried fruits, beef jerky, those things are all very small, very lightweight. You can pack a ton of that stuff into a very small area, and it literally will keep forever as long as the package maintains its integrity. Because
mm-hmm.
once the food or the meat is dried, it basically will last you forever. So look at options like that. The freeze-dried meals are great, but probably not the best option for this type of scenario.
The problem is they need water.
Yeah, that's the biggest issue. They need a ton of water,
and it
too.
Needs to be hot.
They need significant water. Yeah, and it does have to be warm. Cold water gets the job done, but I'm here to tell you. And the downside of those two,
longer.
They're also incredibly heavy in sodium. So they're not a constant food source is particularly good for you. You know, one a day is about as much as you're going to want. So don't bet on those things for your food source. Cans of peaches, cans of fruit, cans of stew, canned meat, canned fish, all those kinds of things are all good things to take. Consider expiration dates, consider quality of food,
consider weight.
Rotation, consider weight,
canned goods,
all that kind
you're
of
looking
stuff.
At a lot of space and a lot of weight.
Here's one benefit of and why oftentimes when I go backpacking, I'll carry like a can of stew. Right, because a can of stew already has all the liquid in it,
mm-hmm.
so I can both eat the stew and get the liquid, which kind of is not enough to not drink water. But you know, it's that whole concept mm-hmm. of I'm kind of killing a little bit of two birds with one stone. Plus, it's already cooked. I can either choose to heat it up a little. I can heat it up a lot. I can mix it in with something else. I can just eat it straight out of the can. Mm-hmm. When I'm done with the can, I have a usable can.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I have something I can use as a container. For water, I can use it as a cup. I can use it to cook other things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a big fan of carrying at least a couple of canned items out there. So I put a couple canned things. Just have to consider rotation and all that. All right. So the priorities, in no particular order, after stop, which is number one: stop, think, observe, and plan. Or fire, signal, shelter, first aid, water, and food. Now, all of those things have tools that go along with them. And we could talk forever about that.
Yeah, about the variety of tools.
Right? There's a variety of tools that you can use to make fire, make a signal, build a shelter, do first aid, make water or purify water, and do something with food, right? Carry food, make food, get food, whatever, right? All those things, tons of skills and tools to go into this. As you're building a get-home bag or a 72-hour kit, keep it reasonable. You know, 25 to 30 pounds for an adult. With no extra water or no water, that's a dry weight. So no water and no winter or cold weather gear.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 25 to 30 pounds should be a good goal for you. All right. And then adding water is whatever that adds. However much water you can carry is always best.
Carry
as much
more.
As you possibly can. And then winter clothing or any specific stuff. You know, I'm not talking about ammo or anything like that. I'm talking about these concepts. You should easily be able to fit it. Now, can you fit into less than that? You bet. You can fit it into a 5-pound bag or a 2-pound bag. You can go super basic with all this stuff and carry around well under 5 pounds and still have something like this. But I'm talking about good tools. They're going to last multiple days and potentially for multiple people. Yep. That's your goal. For your kids, your goal should be a lot less.
Oh, yeah.
5-10 pounds at the most. No, because then you start adding water, 8 pounds a gallon.
My 6-year-old is basically going to carry his Legos, a book.
And a camelback.
And some water.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe his sleeping bag.
Yeah.
Or his blanket.
You know, and then there's those morale items we talked about. Like in a kid's bag, you may throw some toys, unopened brand new toys. You may throw some candy. You may throw, you know, stuff like that. Maybe you take an old phone or an old iPad or iPod or something like that that's got some movies saved on it, whatever, and you take an extra battery pack and you shove that thing in there. Yeah, it's going to be dead weight after a while, but hopefully we're going to get through, you know, it's going to get us through these
3 days, bro.
We're going to get it through these 48 to 72 hours, and that thing is going to keep them occupied and it's going to keep their morale high. And then as things go on, you know, obviously we wean them off of it if things get worse and worse.
But. And then before we forget about this, the your carrying method, you know, buy a quality carrying method for this stuff. Don't cheap out on the $5 Walmart backpack or
you go cheap here, you're gonna freaking regret it.
Yeah. I mean, if that's all you've got and that's all you can afford at the time, then that's a place to start. But look at upgrading that particular piece of equipment, you know, as soon as possible.
Yeah.
There's some really good companies out there that make excellent load-bearing bags. You know, Mystery Ranch makes some pretty outstanding.
Mystery Ranch, Slumberjack's got some great bags.
I love excellent Slumberjack bags. So I love some Slumberjack.
And they're designed to carry like bunches of dead animals.
Yeah.
Killed,
so well, the one that I've got, the Spore. It's a day pack, But I could easily get this 72-hour kit into that bag if I did it appropriately and planned it appropriately. And there's a little bit of webbing on the outside that I can add some pouches to if I needed some extra space for a water bottle or, you know, a place to roll up and shove a sleeping bag or an extra coat. So, you know, buy a good solid bag that you're going to use for this purpose.
Now, on that bag note, be aware. Be very wary and cautious, and probably not a good idea to buy any of the pre-made kits out there.
Oh, God.
No. Most of them are built for – there are very few pre-made survival kits that I'll recommend. The majority of pre-made get-home bags, 72-hour kits, et cetera, are built with price margins in mind.
Mm-hmm.
They are built
– and the bags that come in are total shit.
They're trying to make the most money out of a product. Mm-hmm. They are not trying to provide you with really quality gear, because here's the reality. If they were – their products would be two or three times as expensive. You're not gonna buy a backpack full of, oh my gosh, save your life gear for $80. It's just not gonna happen.
Mm-mm.
You know, your water filter is gonna be at least half that. So,
oh yeah,
it's just like, it depends on what. Just like anything else we talk about here, medical or guns or whatever, it all depends on what your budget is. But be realistic about the gear that you're getting, and don't rely on the tools. Get the skills. None of this stuff does you any good if you don't practice with it and you don't know how to use it.
But keep in mind, when you need this equipment, you need this equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you got the right stuff for what you need
it for. It's not the time to be trying to figure out how this freaking thing works, right? So make sure that you know how everything works. Take it out of the package. Use it. You may have to replace it because you may find out that thing doesn't work right, or maybe you used it up too much. You're like, hey, I'd like to have a brand new one instead of this used one. I'll keep training with this one, but I have a brand new one backup. That may be what happens. It certainly happened with me and my gear. So be realistic about your gear. Be more realistic about your skills. Go out and practice this stuff. All right. As far as first aid is concerned, Wilderness First Aid coming up this weekend in Phoenix.
There you go.
February 18 and 19. You'll learn about a lot of this, actually, because in our Wilderness First Aid class, we cover not just all the trauma first aid, but we cover evacuation, we cover signaling, we cover shelters, we cover some of these concepts because, you know, it's based on a more remote situation. So, you know, if you want to learn some more about these concepts, you should definitely come to class this weekend. And obviously, it's trauma first aid, so it's a really good idea. And if you need an official WFA or Wilderness First Aid certification, we provide that certification as well. So check that class out. More information, contact us, info@trainingaz.com. All right. I guess we're out of time, right, Mason?
Yes.
Son of a bitch. All right. Next week, we're going to be talking about low round count shooting exercises. All right. Yeah, low round count shooting exercises, how to get the most bang for your buck, how to go out to the range, and whether you're an indoor range or an outdoor range, you don't have a lot of ammo, how do you avoid just going to the range and blasting a whole bunch of rounds and not getting anything out of it? So, you know, most of the exercises I do when I hit the range are 5 rounds, 10 rounds, 20 at the absolute most. But most of them are 5 and 10 round exercises. Stress a lot of skills, do a lot of good work with them. So we're going to be talking more about that next week. I want to give a quick shout out to our buddies over at a certain TACMED team. Heckman, thank you for hooking us up with a sweet shirt.
Yeah.
It's a cool shirt. I like it.
It is a cool shirt.
So thanks for sending us a little bit of swag. We appreciate that. I hope you're enjoying your gear from Wilderness. And for all the rest of you who are interested, again, in that Wilderness Scholarship, make sure you email us, info@trainingaz.com, and make sure you check out Wilderness Tactical at wilderness.com. They have all kinds of awesome products. We are coming to you from the Wilderness Tactical Studio. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group, so make sure that you check them out, some of the other shows that they have going on. Remember, you can bring us out to train with you and host us for all our cool classes. Email us for more information. Host train for free. Good way to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Follow us on Facebook and Instagram as The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, and, of course, Red Wire Gear.
Yeah, buddy.
Until next time, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.